Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. The exhibition Porcelain Love Letters, The Art of Mara Superior, opens at the Shelburne Museum on the 10th of May. Superior's porcelain art combines intricate painted imagery and sculptural forms through which he explores themes of history, domesticity, and environmentalism. Trained as a painter, Superior discovered the beauty and creative possibilities of porcelain in the late 70s. Since then, she has focused entirely on this bright but delicate material, appreciating both its fragility as well as its great strength. Superior's work is inspired by many interests, including art history, patriotism, environmentalism, and everyday life at home. We welcome Mara Superior to the show this morning. Hello, how are you?
Hello. It is. Thank you so much for having me.
A delight to have you on the program. It's a great honor, and we thank you so much for making the trek over. We also welcome Corey Rogers to the program, joining us via telephone. The Francie and John Downing Senior Curator of American Art at Shelburne Museum in Vermont. Hello, Corey.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Very nice to have you on the program. Corey, tell us how this show came about.
I've been a huge fan of Mara's work for a very long time, and Leslie Farah and her gallerist and I had discussed this possibility of including her work in a temporary show at the museum, and we jumped at the chance. Mara's work is just so beautiful, so intricate, and we know that it's really going to connect with our audience.
The idea of the title, I'm always fascinated by titles of shows, but Porcelain Love Letters, of how, and obviously the art of Mara Superior. So as far as what you wanted to choose, what you wanted to exhibit and show, what went into that process?
Yeah, this is a really amazing question. Thank you. This exhibition features about 50 works from Mara's career from the broad spectrum of her nearly 5 decades working with porcelain. And what we wanted to do were pick pieces. All of the works that she produces are some way reflections of herself, her interests, her passions. And so it was a really easy way of selecting all of these different themes that sort of pop up in her life. And really, when you look at them and you hear her talk about the pieces, which will be in part of the interpretive text for the show, you really see that she's putting these works out into the world as love letters to the people who will be looking at them. And that's sort of how we came up with this title.
Do you see them as love letters?
Essentially, yes, because I'm usually approaching things from a very positive perspective. They're usually commemorative, positive commemorations of whatever theme I'm working with.
Is that your nature, to be more positive than negative?
Yes, it has been.
To find the good.
Yeah, and the beauty.
And the beauty, of course. What brought you to porcelain initially?
Well, it was a surprise and an accident. I was trained as a painter, and years later, I took a class, hand building with porcelain, a 6-week class, and it was love at first sight. I went back to UMass and studied ceramics for 2 years, and I've been working with it ever since.
What is it, for those or who don't know, other than that it is fragile, of what it is like to work with as a substance?
Well, it's like dough. It's like pastry, in a way. I mean, the wet material is white. So you're wearing a white apron, and, porcelain is, it's a beautiful material. It feels like cream cheese in its wet state. But it can be anything. You can make anything with ceramics as a material, from jewelry to tiles to sculpture to a cup to drink your coffee from. It's just a fantastic material to work with, and porcelain has an extraordinary history that goes back to 400 in China, the first porcelains that were fired. And I'm using a material, I'm using English China clay, but the history goes back to 400 AD, and all of the porcelain stories, historical stories, are fantastic, that the Europeans imitated Chinese porcelain for about 400 years before they could themselves figure out the recipe for true porcelain, which is a white glass. It's fired to 2,300 degrees, and that's why it's very durable and glass-like, because it is white glass.
When you talk about the history, and you talk about it with such reverence, I'm curious, you're always aware of that, I assume, of
yes.
that history. You want to include that history and
absolutely.
Have it aware in your mind.
I feel connected to it. I feel like I'm a continuation of this long tradition and long history, and that just makes me feel very good.
Mm. When you were putting this show together and with Corey, what was it like to pick the pieces that would be shown as a representation of your work, of the art of Mara Superior?
Well, it is a survey show. There are some objects from the 1990s, and there are current objects from last year, contributions from two collectors are part of it, and things from my own collection at home, Corey, and Leslie Farron's gallery. So Corey came to visit, went to Leslie's gallery, came to my home, and came up with a list of things he would like.
So it's, they get to go shopping. That's fun.
I'll take that and that and that and that.
Yeah, that's neat. That's very, very cool. So when you look and see what is chosen, well, let me back up, because I find it fascinating that of what you keep for yourself. What goes into that? Because it must be I'm assuming it is of great personal meaning to you if something is something that you don't want going out the door.
Well, it's usually because I'm too attached to it. I love it so much, or it represents an excellent kiln firing, which I fire in an atmospheric gas kiln, and each kiln firing varies based on the weather and all kinds of things. So some things are not reproducible. And when the copper fumes and certain things take place in an exquisite firing, I am very possessive about keeping those pieces.
What makes an excellent kiln firing?
Well, for me, the clay very white and glassy, and I use copper oxide. I use the basic oxides. All the bright colors burn out at this temperature range, so it's cobalt blue, chrome green, and copper carbonate, which does special things. It does metallic fuming in a good firing, and that's what I'm always looking for.
And you do you know that right away? I mean, as far as once you've got it, you're like, oh, okay, this is great. We can go to town now.
No.
Darn it. No. So when do you know it?
No. You know it when you open the kiln door.
Okay.
So it's all up in the air. There might be months worth of work in a kiln, and you've got a 12-hour firing.
Yeah.
And you're really not certain what you have and how excellent it's going to be until you open the kiln door.
Is there trepidation when you open the door?
There's some trepidation, but when it's a positive thing, it's like Christmas morning
sure.
every time.
Now, you have brought a
I brought a watercolor sketch with me of the commission that I am making in porcelain.
For the Shelburne Museum.
For the Shelburne Museum. And it's a miniature collection of some of my favorite things at the museum. And, you know, if you've been to the campus, there's this enormous steamboat on the grass.
The Ticonderoga.
The Ticonderoga.
That's right.
Which is just such an absurd sight to see that I had to include it.
Why is that on land in Vermont?
Yes, on the grass. And a beautiful pair of Chelsea porcelain, English porcelain tureens, which I love very much. And there's a collection of circus wagons, and this particular wagon with two giraffes sticking out of the top of the wagon.
A wagon. So not a calliope, but a wagon.
A wagon. Yeah. As there are 50 different wagons. Corey can tell you the name of the artist that made this entire miniature wooden painted circus.
Do you want to tell us that, Corey?
Yeah, his name was Roy Arnold. He was a paper executive at the Strathmore Paper Company. And from 1925 until 1950, he handcrafted this miniature model that if it was at a 1 to 12 scale, and if it was life size, it would stretch more than 2 miles long. It's a pretty extraordinary thing, and I'm so happy that Mara sort of honed in on its importance.
That's wonderful. There's a top hat.
There's a collection. They have a tremendous textile collection of quilts, hats, and band boxes, decorated boxes that were, people kept their very precious hats and very precious painted boxes.
Now, I have seen your work on, in photographs, my question is a somewhat specific one, but when you have like the swan or even the Ticonderoga, are those, some of them seem to be in relief, right?
Yes.
Are they attached?
They're attached to a platter, but they're sculpted out of a slab of clay and texturized in one way or another.
So they're made separately and then affixed to the final product.
Yes.
And that allows you, it seems to me that would be fun as far as the placement goes as to where everything is going to land.
Right. And these would be little extra labels that, this is the Vermont seal, a reproduction of a magnificent painting that they have at the museum. And on this side, in this particular label, I have a thank you note to Electra Havemeyer Webb, who collected all of these things. This was her home and her collection. So I am thanking her for saving these objects and creating this museum for everyone to enjoy.
So I have a question for you, and then I have a question for Corey. But what do you know particularly, I mean, I guess Ticonderoga is a no-brainer, but of what it was about certain objects that caught your eye, just said, oh, those have to be a part of what I'm doing as part of this commission?
Well, so many things caught my eye. It was very difficult to choose. I mean, I could quadruple this.
Yeah.
But the Ticonderoga, the swans and the giraffe and the seal were absolutes. This is a large-scale robin ship's prow. And there's a room that have enormous carvings. And it's of the sweetest character that this enormous bird has that just caught my attention. And
great eyes. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Lovely. It's
so sweet. And I've worked with mermaids throughout my career when I'm dealing with fantasy, and they have a marvelous weather vane collection. So I included the mermaid weather vane.
So, Corey, the question for you of this collection of this is a sort of wonderful introduction to it, but also obviously so many other things that people can see when they come to the museum.
Yeah, the museum, you know, is a very eclectic institution. We're about 39 structures on about 40 acres of campus, and we have everything from the first Monet to come to the American shores to an amazing collection of folk art to a 210-foot long Ticonderoga dry docked in the middle of a Vermont field. And so we also have an amazing circus collection. So it really is sort of like a little fantasy world that Electra Habermeyer Webb developed during her lifetime. It really is spectacular.
And the Ticonderoga, is it there yet? It comes in and out, right? Or is it just always to the...
The Ticonderoga has been dry docked for 70-some-odd years, so
okay.
It stays right there.
Stays there. Wow. Not something you're going to move around, I guess.
Yeah, we did it once. It was a miracle it survived. We said sleep alone.
Well, if you want to see the steamboat Ticonderoga, that'll certainly know that you've arrived at the Shelburne Museum. And then there's this wonderful exhibit which opens on May 10th. It is called Porcelain Love Letters, The Art of Mara Superior, opening at the Shelburne Museum on October 10th. It's running through October 26th. And you can find out more information by going to shelburnemuseum.org, shelburnemuseum.org. Corey Rogers, thank you very much for being with us. And Mara Superior, thank you so much for the beautiful description of your art and how you do it. It's just gorgeous, and I thank you so much for explaining it to us.
It is my honor and thrill to be in an NPR studio. I am so excited.
Thanks. Well, we thank you very much. It's very nice of you to be here, and we really appreciate you you coming on. Again, you can find out more about Porcelain Love Letters, The Art of Mara Superior. It opens May 10th. It'll be on view at the Shelburne Museum through October 26th, shelburnemuseum.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.